This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it.
Speaking to author Wona Maqingwane, also known as Wona the Great. I believe she's on the line right now. Good morning, Wona. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So please just tell me a little bit more about yourself and your upbringing.
Oh, all right. So Wona is a 28-year-old South African woman, originally from East London. And yeah, so I had a good upbringing. I raised in a Christian family, child to a busy mother, but yeah, boarding school and yeah, man, yeah.
And the intro to your book is you saying your adventure of tears took you on a rather less traveled scenic route back and forth. Tell us more about this adventure of tears and the less traveled route.
All right. So, I mean, you know, in life we experience, you know, different, you know, things that come to scrape us, right? Hence, the book is called A Sandpaper, right? Sandpaper Trail, Becoming of Age. So there, the depression I went through, the bullying I went through, you know, the rape I went through for an upbringing I had, you would definitely say that was not the way my life was supposed to go if you were to look at it from get-go. But because of experience, as I have said now, it comes to scrape each and every one of us. We sometimes can be protected by our parents, but we can never predict exactly how life will eventually turn out for us, because experience also has to take its toll in our life, yeah.
So, I mean, your book is about overcoming, but I want to go back to the time where you're now having an unplanned pregnancy, you know, you're abusing substances. What's happening in your mind at that time?
At that time, because life had dealt me with these experiences, firstly from, you know, failure from a young age, bullying and the rape, I was just like in a dark, dark place, a place where... if you were to do science, you'd probably say it's a quantum. It's a place where if you do not snap out of it quickly, then you can either become easily depressed and brain damaged eventually, or you can just be suicidal, you know. So in that moment, I felt so, you know, so alone, so ugly, and I literally didn't see any worth in my life. But I know that for one, that you know, God has always lived inside of me. So I was never really suicidal, but because I was taking the substances, you know, it triggered another, you know, mindset to surface. So it was quite a scary place, I won't lie.
I can definitely resonate, because I think as young people, we often fall into the trap of portraying a life that we are not living. We lose ourselves, like
you're
saying, you
felt
alone. We lose ourselves in social media and substances. Tell us more about your experiences in losing yourself and also just finding yourself again. How did you just find yourself again?
Firstly, I sat myself down because so many bad events, you know, were happening. And I then sat myself down. I was like, okay, Wona, why is all of this happening to you? Is it because now you're also attracting this negative energy? So I think at that point in my life, I was just like, it's either I live or I die. But before whatever will happen, let me do this introspection so that even if, you know, I finish the book and I decide to not live, at least people would have known that, okay, this is coming from the horse's tail, not someone else's fabricated lies about me, who I am. This is who I am, and take it and try and use it as a pillar of strength or a source of hope, you know. So, I mean, as I dedicate the book to my past, which is my mother, I say to her, you know what, Mom, as much as you may have tried everything, taken me to the best schools, done everything, taken me to church, but, you know, life had to also happen to me at the same time. The plan God has for us is not necessarily the plan that our parents have for us, you know. So, but I did not fail you. This is how it went down. And then I also dedicated to my daughter, which I say is my future. So in case I had finished the book and she, you know, she was hearing things about, oh, your mom was this, your mom was that, that's why this happened to her, I wanted her to also know that, you know what, Mama Waike was a person who actually lived, who loved her, but actually was dealt with life like this through experience.
So, I mean, now this next question I have for you is one that most readers are always interested in. Why did you decide to write this book, Warner?
For me, introspection, like I just said now, and then it became deeper than, you know, it had a deeper meaning as I was getting into, in the middle of, writing the book. I started seeing all these things that I've gone through happen in society, and they're considered as taboo issues, It's only when something happens that's major, then people are like, oh, let's actually follow through this thing. I feel like people don't know that these things are continuously happening. You can't just wait until someone, I mean, with this child that just now died, the grade 10 pupil, next week, I'm sure people would have forgotten, these things, it's just like that George thing, in America. People just only do, like, celebrate it. Oh my goodness, this person was like this. It shouldn't have happened to them. But it's an ongoing process. People need to be reminded. You don't bully a child, because this is what could happen. It could change her outlook, and it changes just the paradigm. That person was probably supposed to be a president, but now guess what? We're still going to be in a lost society because we just lost a great one. So for me, it was also just helping other people through my experience to say, see, this is what I went through. If I survived, so can you. So, yeah, just take it, just like I say at the front, tears fashioned on paper. It's not just a book. It is my tears that I want to give someone hope to actually carry on tomorrow.
So would you say that writing this book for you was a healing process?
Most definitely. And even just talking to people about it, even just having, this honor, having you guys, interview me right now. And I'll call it an honor because, sometimes in society, when you try and tackle these, situations, a woman like me who wrote a book, like this, some people are just like, oh my goodness, this is too close to my own situation. It's scary. Let me just carry on partying. Let me carry on with my life. I was fine. But we are all a chamber of secrets walking around, carrying deep things inside that we are actually supposed to be speaking out about so that we can educate the next person. There's no mistake that you are in that environment. Like, for instance, right now, you interviewing me, there's no mistake that you are there at this certain point in time. There's a certain part and a role you're supposed to play there. And that's what I'm trying to do now with this book. Play my role in this life, because I know my purpose now is through writing and my voice to help and change lives as much as I can.
Warner, I am definitely touched by your story, and I'm so grateful that you actually decided to write this book, and I hope everyone listening is getting something out of this. Before we let you go, where can we get a hold of you and your book?
Oh, okay, amazing. You guys can follow me on all social media networks, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram at Warner the Great. And I have a page on Facebook, which is Warner the Great. People can actually go there. It's linked to a WhatsApp number. You prompt it, and then it will send you straight to where you can order the book. Otherwise, people can also get my email address. If they're having any problems with that, it's on my social pages.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1. Or streams via www.vafm.co.za.